Today's passage is John 7, 32 to 36. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" To sum up where we are currently at the book of John, let's review the two verses right before this, verses 30 and 31. "So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, 'When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?'" The setting is the temple during the Feast of the Booths, one of the special holidays for the Jews. And as Jesus is teaching, there were the Jewish leaders who are seeking to arrest him. Yet there are also people who started to believe in him. Some people who started linking the miracles with Jesus as signs for him being the Christ. That brings us to verse 32, where once again, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, are not happy at all with this growing muttering among the crowd. The Pharisees do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, so they are really upset at the possibility of the crowds following him. They send officers to arrest him. In the NIV, officers is translated as temple guards. As the religious leaders during that time, they had a pretty significant earthly power and authority. Then Jesus says something that the Pharisees do not understand. "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." And it's clear that the Pharisees do not understand, because in verses 35 and 36, they ask three questions, starting with, "Where does this man intend to go? Does he intend? And what does he mean?" The first question pretty much captures the other two. Basically, where does Jesus mean to go where we can't go? The answer is what Jesus said, that he is going to the one who sent him, and that is the Heavenly Father. We know now, of course, that Jesus is God's only Son, sent by the Father to earth. And towards the end of his time here, he endured the cross, rose again, and indeed, he ascended back to heaven. Jesus desires for everybody to join him, from his disciples to his non-disciples, from the rich to the poor, the Greeks and the Jews, including the Pharisees. Yet, like John writes later in the Gospel, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Therefore, when the Pharisees or others refuse to believe in him, they cannot go to heaven. They cannot go to the Father. The Pharisees' second question is really telling of their attitude, where they ask, "Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks?" The dispersion referred to the Jews scattered among the nations outside of Jerusalem. And the Pharisees couldn't stand the idea of going among the Greeks or the Gentiles, the non-Jews. To quote a commentary on the passage, they asked the question in evident scorn, "Will this rabbi, leaving Jerusalem, the center of light and learning, go to those who dwell among the heathen and become a teacher of the very heathen themselves?" You see, the Pharisees are so closed off to the idea of God desiring to be with other nations. They physically could go to the Greeks if they wanted to, but it was this mental barrier that made them say no to the thought of that. We see that they have lost sight of God's heart. God's people were called to be holy, to be set apart, but that does not mean they are not to be a blessing to the other nations among them. They were not to scorn them, of course. After all, God, back in Genesis, told Abraham, I will bless you to be a blessing to the nations. And it's ironic that the Jews are, that the Jewish leaders are in some way speaking the truth here. While Jesus ultimately will go to heaven where they cannot go, his ministry on earth was also clearly intended for the Jews too, for the Greeks too. He physically did go among the people outside of Jerusalem, who the Jewish leaders scorned. And later in John 12, at another feast setting, it is the Greeks who come and seek Jesus. The Greeks turn out to be the ones who actually recognize Jesus as the Christ. For our response to today's passage, let's consider who Jesus came to earth for, so that they could join him one day in heaven with the Father. He came for all who are willing to accept him as the Christ, including non-Jews like us. So let's spend some time in thanksgiving for our salvation. And let's also consider that same heart of God for those around us. Let's guard our hearts against any pride, like the pride of the Pharisees, where they thought of only themselves as being worthy of God. We may sometimes forget about God's heart and subtly, or not so subtly, in our hearts, scorn people who we don't see eye to eye with or who are not like us. And we want to ignore them when we think about God's love. However, God's heart is for them, and we are in the same boat as them. So if God brings to mind any individuals or groups that we have been looking at with judgment, let's repent of that, and in humility, pray that they would experience a life-giving relationship with God too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and thank you for revealing spiritual truths to us, to see that you are the Christ, and that you, when you said that you're going to a place the Jewish leaders cannot go to, you're talking about heaven. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, we just thank you that you have made a way for us, and we are just in humility and want to accept this invitation that you have given us. And Lord, at the same time, help us to look at those around us with humility, God, that we could see your love for them and be agents and be instruments of your love for them. Pray that you would give us opportunities to bless those around us, and that we would walk in obedience in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.